Christmas. Missionary Position 1 by Di Brandt. Let me tell you what it's like having God for Father and Jesus for a lover on this old Mother Earth, you who no longer know the old story. The part about the Virgin being, of course, a myth made up by Catholics for an easy way out. It's not that easy. I can tell you right off, the old man in his room demands bloody hard work. He with his rod and his hard, crooked staff. Well, Jesus, he's different. He's a good enough lay. It's just that he prefers miracles to fishing, and sometimes I get tired waiting all day for his bit of magic, though late at night I burn with his fire, and the old mother shudders and quakes under us when God's not looking.
When it's time to go, I won't be breaking promises. When it's time. If you are moldy like a wet woolen sweater, if you are freezing like a boat in a storm, if you are firewood that's been left out of the fireplace when you want to burn up, at least you'd burn warm. Like an eyeless cave blizzard, everything you own is starting to grow spores. If you are a knife that's been left off the table, when you've rusted enough, you're left to rust more. An animal's body is coming for us soon. I'm coming for you soon. When it's time to go, I won't be breaking promises.
Well, at the corner market, I saw the year's first crop of tulips. They were huddled like orphans in their bins, their balms battened down against the snowstorm that was due to drop any day. On the radio, they were promising a breath away from the West Coast rain. The newscasters cut paper snowflakes and smiled their warnings from the studio. They know it's still pouring in the city. Those tulips are stood-up sisters. They're still locked down in their weather because they really couldn't know how the winter's breaking promises when it's just about to go.
If you are dead, that no one requested, if you are a lamp that's been left on for me, if you are a stove that's been working all winter, if you are a goal that's been swept out to sea, you miss my face like a coffee cup empty, you miss my body like an early morning train. Go to your bedroom and see what I'm doing. Train in the spring to blow your bones home. Like a shipwreck you stir in the midst of a tempest that is coming for us soon. I'm coming to you soon.
Good evening. You are listening to Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm JC Peters, and I wanted to say that I apologize for having to shut down the Arts Report a little early. We had some technical difficulties, so the show started late, so I had to cut off the end of the discussion. Unfortunately, I apologize for that. But here we are in our half-hour slot of Audio Text. What you just heard was the single Breaking Promises from the Fugitives' new EP, Find Me. This is a very special hearing that you just got, because this new EP isn't actually even going to be released until October, but because I am very special and I have connections, I happen to have this CD myself. So that was the first song. The Fugitives are a Canadian band that have been playing in a lot of folk festivals and stuff. They have a new singer. Adrian Glynn is their newest member. So they're coming out with this new EP. So keep your ears and eyes open for the CD release party for that coming up in October. And I'll play another song from that CD as well nearer to the end of the show. Before that, you heard a poem from Di Brant from one of my very favorite anthologies, Open Country Canadian Literature in English, edited by Robert Lecker. And I'll be coming back to Di Brant's work a little later in the show as well. But before we get to all of that, we have lots of juicy poetry coming up for you today and some listings so that you know what's going on in the city and you can go see some of this stuff live. Not everybody likes my selections as much as I do, so you can judge for yourself and go and see some of this stuff as well. So today is August 5th, and what have we got? Sunday, August 9th, 360 Studios is presenting Word, and I think that this is sort of a relatively regular event, and it's going to be featuring Relevant this time. He's a young poet who you've heard before on this show if you've been listening religiously. So that's happening at 360B East Esplanade in North Vancouver from 7 till 10 p.m. And it's a $7 to $10 cover, depending on if you're a student or not. If you're not in North Vancouver, you are in the east side of Vancouver. Also, Sunday, August 9th, the Story Slam is happening at Café du Soleil. This is a monthly event where storytellers compete for cash and prizes. So that's at Café du Soleil, Commercial Drive and 5th. And I think the cover for that is $5. This Monday, August 10th, there is another poetry slam, just like every week. This week's theme is the song slam, so instead of poetry, you'll be getting some music, so it's appropriate that I'm playing some spoken word music kind of stuff on the show today, too, because Canadian writing also sometimes means songwriting. So you can go check that out. That's at Café du Soleil as well, Commercial Drive and 5th. That's a $5 cover. And also I wanted to mention that there is another science fiction book club coming up. I had announced the last one on the show. I hope some of you made it there. There is another one next week. It's going to be Thursday, August 13th at the Grind Gallery on Main Street, and that's going to be at 7 p.m. And this month's discussion is going to be about The Traveler by John Twelve. So if you want more information about that, if you want to join the group, you can email darthbuddy2000@yahoo.ca. So go and check that out. I think science fiction is a really cool genre that doesn't get a lot of press necessarily in mainstream avenues. So as for the poetry that I'm going to play today, last week I did kind of a slam-oriented spoken word show, and so today I'm going to do a little bit more of kind of page poetry come to life. The first poet that I'm going to be playing is Bill Bissett. You may have heard of him before. He's pretty well known as a Canadian poet. He was born in Halifax, and he's been publishing poetry for his whole life. He's known for his kind of experimental concrete poetry, and if you hear him do his thing, he's really into kind of sound effects. He'll do some chanting, and apparently he does a little barefoot dancing at some of his readings as well, so he's kind of somebody a little bit different. You might recognize him by the way he spells things. You know, he kind of spells things phonetically and never uses capitals, so he's just kind of got an interesting take on language. So I'll be playing a few of his pieces from an event that Talon Books put on a few weeks ago at the Anza Club. So this is Bill Bissett.
There's something so familiar about life, more than I ever realized. At first breath, had I been here before? That was my questioning feeling. As I made my way toward my destiny, I was already in the pictures. Was that it? Looking for a love to hold on to be with? Was it only inside me, the payoff? And so very familiar it all was, as if I already belonged. As if. Okay, I'm not raging. Polar bears on Yonge Street. So Miss Lisa and me, we're going up Yonge to see how far it goes. It's said to be the longest street in the world. On this day, anyway, we went north on Yonge Street, past the 7,000 block, past the turnoff to Barrie, which was still called Yonge Street. So long, and we saw so many polar bears sweating and heading south, as their Arctic home was melting. We witnessed the polar bears discussing among themselves what to busker first. Look, I said to Lise, it's the polar bears on Yonge Street. Soon they'll be downtown in all the terrible traffic. Yes, she said, it's coming soon. What will it look like, I asked. It'll feel like dying, she said, or the last circus. Oh. Echolation in ecology, ecology, sound poems, visual poems, a story in store, a political spiritual cutout, a randomness, a poster, a push of pockets of elements of a collage poem body, non-narrative effusion, Oldsmobile Chevrolet, a role, a poetica, a barker, baker, 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 rum, a mirror, non-mimicking all these together, expending par exemple, we are all night burnishing up all, derive these liquid soul occurs, selecting any day, a second or third, training to be all your own voices about, you and all the paper, the narrative of a lyric line moving through the shatter, your own voices of a poem, a poem, a poem. Sometimes a layer unlearned, going out for dinner to discover, let the poem discover itself. Unmirror, unmirroring, unmimicking the train to keep, keep going. High hopes, I wish you knew cinema, I wish you. I'm so hungry, can I feed my soul? I'm there way too many ideas in your work, they said to me. I'm Michigan, how many people have you? Bill, you don't understand. That was the third time that week someone said to me, oh, but Bill, you don't understand. And I thought,
oh, fuck, I don't understand. I know it. I get it already. Don't keep telling me. Okay,
raging, excellent. I got it. Okay. So insistent. Okay. And I'm so hungry. Can I feed my soul? I'm so hungry. Together, you talking, done. There are many topics that one sees into me. I was trying to focus on one thing at a time, okay? Oh, will that work for you? I've done a newspaper members. I'm talking to everyone. Yes, the troubles, of course, the voices keep changing. And a Waverly tongue maneuver.
On Sunday, August 9th, come celebrate a festival of art and social change at the 19th annual Under the Volcano Festival. Bring friends and family to enjoy diverse and socially conscious music, spoken word performances, a storytelling stage, and more at Kate's Park in Deep Cove. This year's festival boasts over 30 different artists, including Mecha Normal, Rutz Wrong Tohei, Invincible, Aura Kogan, and LAL. Admission by donation. More information can be found at volcano.resist.ca.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
So, one thing that I find really interesting is that a lot of the recordings that I play on the show, the bulk of them are from shows that I've been to in Vancouver or other cities if I'm visiting. And one of the things that I find most fascinating about these recordings is the sound of the audience. So if you have been listening to the show, you've definitely heard some pieces from the Vancouver Poetry Slam. The audience is really raucous. They're yelling, they're screaming, they're cheering really loudly. And at this poetry event at the Anza Club, you know, it's just just sort of some polite clapping and people sort of oohing and aahing quite politely. And it was just a really interesting thing to see that you can sort of hear the energy of the crowd in these different kind of venues with different types of poetry. And, you know, just in terms of contrast as well, the sort of performance poetry that Bill Bissett was doing is really different from the rhythm and the sound of the kind of slam culture of poetry. So just something to think about if you've been listening to the show and you're interested in these different genres. It's just kind of a little detail that I find kind of fascinating. So moving right along, I'm going to be playing a piece by Edina Karasik, who was at that very same reading. She's also been recently published by Talon Books and was on tour with them across Canada. So she's also a really interesting character. She was born in Winnipeg and she has Russian Jewish heritage, and she's done a lot of cultural theory as well as writing poetry, and she does some interesting performance stuff too. She has a love poem to Osama bin Laden on YouTube somewhere, so you can go and check that out if you're interested. But she definitely has a different kind of energy and a different kind of sound than Bill Bissett does. So this is Edina Karasik.
This is, maybe some of you read this great book called The Rule. Somebody gave it to me. It was, you know, it was like how to get a man to marry you. And it was written by, I realized I had done everything wrong, and I don't know why they gave it to me, but, you know, somebody was hoping. So anyways, I took a look at it and I translated it, and it made sense to me. I think it only made sense about the relationship between a reader and a text. So this is, yeah. Take note. Looking at a text first is a dead giveaway of interest. Let it look at you. Make that text feel that you are unattainable, that you are fulfilled and functional and happy without reading it, that you are perfectly capable of living with or without it. You are not an empty vessel waiting for that text to fill you up, to entertain, illuminate, or transport you. You are alive and enthusiastic, engaged in deep socio-political, post-industrial, anti-consumerist aesthetics. You do not need to intersect with that syntagmatic quagmire. So pace the relationship slowly. Look at the accompaniment. It's only natural that when you discover a text you like, that you connect with, you want to read it all the time. You want to know all about its history, its context, intentions, peruse, its intertextual references. You want to know everything, almost overnight. So it's hard to say no when it beckons, calls out, wanting you to read it. So be distant and unattainable. For goodness sake, you are not an open book. Unveil yourself slowly. Read it letter by letter, line by line, savoring each sonora cluster, stanza, read it perhaps only once a week at first. And after you become so ever so passionately engaged with every curve, line, every orthographic homage, each syntactic moment, tell that text, I'm sorry, I already have plans the next time it wants you to read it. Even if you feel intoxicated by the smell of its print, the thickness of its paper, the smell of it on your fingers, in your nose, tell that text, I'm sorry, my reading itinerary does not include you. For this text may be dangerous, full of unwanted dis-ease, slippage. It may ooze testosterone and be disastrously unfaithful. So don't be surprised if that text calls out to you in your sleep, in your dreams, if it calls out to you when you are reading other texts or during sweaty discourse. When you finally finally agree to immerse yourself in it? Explore that text like uncharted territory. Read it like you've never read before. Read it with verve, with passion. Insert yourself in it. Engage with every aspect of its teleology, its material makeup, and the foundations of its thinking systems, codes, queries. Let it swirl through you and caress each pneumatic moment of never-ending possibility with no assumption of truth, authenticity, or closure. Be gentle and be rough. Let it do things to you as you do things to it. Simultaneously enter its paradigmatic and syntagmatic axes with your mouth. Gently caress its traces, entrances, complexities, and travel with it through sonoric and material exuberance. Let it resonate with you. Make it scream. And after, be casual and unmoved by the fact that that chapter or stanza is over. With that attitude, chances are that text will be clinging to you. Don't try to keep it with you by suggesting that you can penetrate it deeper, that you alone are able to unpack its intricately woven complex references when you read it in bed. In fact, don't spend all your time with your text in bed. Take it out. Don't hold it close in your pocket or between your inner thighs. Rub its spine. Embrace it with your fingers or under your arm. Make it ache for you. Remember, you are in control of your own textacy. But if you absolutely cannot take it, if your patience gets the better of you, if you need to just hear its voice, read a little, then close it. Do not let the text think that just because you have your text, you will read it too. So if I were you, I'd take that text out. Take it to a book party, a library, a bookstore. Take it into a classroom where other texts are being celebrated. Show that text. It's not the only text in town. Watch its pages crumple. Turn inward. Remind it at any time that it could be remaindered, manipulated, or marked down. It could be marginalized. But be careful, because when you eventually make the decision to read the text fully, you may discover certain flaws, find things about it you wish were different. It may not be as playful as you may have wanted. It may be too full of assonance, or its harsh juxtapositions or collisions may irritate you. Perhaps you will find its margins too wide, or its lexicon unwieldy. Perhaps its ambiguous nature will seem unsatisfying, or its ellipsis artificially plumped up. You must decide if you can accept these grammatological blemishes and work them. Because that text is not just looking for a light reading, but a real reader, a close reader, a reader that will make it feel alive. For goodness sake, that text is not just after a one-night scan. The text wants something real, lasting, that only you can offer it. A fully metonymous relationship for life.
The Rules for Reading Books in 7 Minutes by Adina Karasik. That was a piece that I thought was pretty funny, so I thought I'd play it for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed it. So I'm going to come back, as I promised, to a little bit of poetry by Di Brandt. She is one of my favorite contemporary Canadian poets. She's really interesting. She grew up in the Mennonite community of Rhineland in Manitoba. At the age of 17, she left. So she grew up there, and it's a very religious community, and she felt like she was living in the 16th century and was actually quite culture shocked by moving away to the city and sort of coming into the 20th century, because attitudes were so different and people were so different. It was actually quite stressful. So she has some really beautiful and complex poetry about sort of rejecting some of the attitudes of that community, but also being grateful for and embracing other types of attitudes. So, for example, the men weren't very respectful of women, according to her, but everybody was very respectful of the land and living really simply in respect for the rhythms of the land. So I think it's pretty amazing that she managed to sort of take all of the good aspects of it, even while able to kind of become aware of and criticize the aspects that she didn't want to keep with her. And the poetry itself is just really interesting and beautiful. So I'm going to read a couple of pieces from this anthology, as I mentioned, Open Country, Canadian Literature in English, published by Thompson Nelson and edited by Robert Lecker. This next piece is called Poem for a Guy Who's Thought About Feminism. Poem for a guy who's thought about feminism and is troubled by it, but not enough. What you don't want to know can hurt you, and will perhaps even kill you, as it has killed so many others, women, whales, birds, Indians, Jews, even the golden-haired sons of men, the privileged ones, the chosen. Why do we hide grief from ourselves and each other, pretending pleasure? I cry because we must greet each other from now on with lies or terror. Our lying together through the years has brought us to such an impasse, such an impossible ending. I fear we must, all of us, everything in us, fly apart. I feel a heaviness in me tonight, the earth's weight pulling me down. I want to love you, under these dripping trees, these great scented blossoms, but I can't. Enchanted evening, you would have liked to whisper in my ear in another language, another story, your heart in your throat. The poem is bigger than I am. The poem is hungry and insists on its own truth. The desire in everything, fierce breeding among the trees. I love you, I love you. I cannot lie with you tonight. There's Holocaust between us, and I am tired of dying. Here at the heart of the ravaged heart. Here at the heart of the ravaged heart of the dead land, lilacs mixing with the dead rain, we like to kill our gods and eat them too, like all good Christians do. No mystery moths or beetles for us, or locusts shining in the grass, no siree. All our trillion little winged deities, bees, mosquitoes, houseflies, butterflies, fruit flies, fish flies, horseflies, June bugs, cicadas, now in radical chemical jeopardy, and our lettuce and raspberries, and yet, deer graze in the forest along the ravine, grasshoppers and crickets miraculous sing in forgotten ditches along the fields. Wasps stray through chloroporous clouds to out the way. Sweet milkweed, thistle, goldenrod clumps just then for a moment. Above, around, below, the shadow of these endless depleted uranium-driven gray apocalyptic streets. These lurking cancer cells, hawks and goldfinches, bright colored. Let's turn it all around. Asphalt, splitting volcanic magic, blue butterflies, sweet grass, adrenaline, circle. Darting, fluttering, kicking, bursting in. So those were a couple of pieces from Di Brandt, from the anthology Open Country, Canadian Literature in English, edited by Robert Lecker. You are listening to Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm JC Peters, happy to share with you some of the stuff that I've been reading and listening to and recording over the past months or weeks or whatever. And I'm just going to end off the show with one more song by The Fugitives from that brand new EP that's not even released yet. So I hope you enjoy this special kind of sneak peek. This song is called Bluebell Lament.
Bright, born bright, born dry. down in front of that naked window. Watch the world through the wet, fresh glass you clean with sweat cloth and dry spit. Think of the broken dishes you amend until the edges kiss in our old kitchen where the water never runs. Watch the scorched sky burn the fields beckoning like a thousand red flickering tongues of better gentlemen. And know that running is for the wicked, that the forest heaves with tricks, that there's enough to fix in this house where the hard bed where the night sleeps under the watch of a wretch, rolling round in fits from the red touch of your toil-burnt flesh. Lie down and labor.